The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved in the God of workmen who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But this evening we'll get back into and try to finish up our analysis, verses 9 and 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, page around 32 of our notes. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're either in fellowship or out of fellowship. There's no gray area in this regards. Either you're under the rulership of God the Holy Spirit, which you get there in regards to your prayer of confession of your personal sins, or otherwise you're under the rulership of sin nature through the act of personal sin without any rebound. And obviously this is part of the Christian experience. This is a part of the Christian battle, the inward battle in regards to our own STA throughout our Christian life, staying on top of it, keeping it at bay sufficiently so our positive volition can express itself. Continue to seek God to furthermore understand His work clearly and completely in this regard. It's necessary to do His divine directed will for us in regards to our Christian life. So as is our custom, we'll give everybody an opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the grace of return back to the assembly of ourselves together, even more so as the day approaches. We thank you for the truth of your word, that it keeps us oriented in regards to our own place in your protocol and history of your plan for the world, and that we are under your protection, that you read our positive volition you have from eternity past, and you will provide for it continually throughout the remainder of our own lives on this planet, as well as into our new eternal life in this respect. We ask once again this evening that God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten us to the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in verses 9 and 10, we're dealing with the fact in verse 9, Paul makes clear that the Antichrist agenda is completely in sync, satanically sponsored, enjoying all the benefits of satanic power under darkness, as he so claims, that is, the one who's coming is accord with the activity of Satan, with all powers and signs and false wonders. He has satanic power behind him in seeking to convince the world of his claims of being God, and it's ultimately all for the purpose of the worship of Satan through his medium, the Antichrist, Alexander the Great. And while the world obviously becomes mesmerized in regards to all of his physical supernatural feats and things that he does in order to convince people in this regards, verse 10 makes clear that the anchor that truly sinks them to the very depths of buying into the delusion is their own human viewpoint and rejection of the truth. That the human viewpoint is instrumental in faking the world out is seen clearly, verse 10, and with all the deception and wickedness for those who perish because they do not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Point 32, page 32 of our notes. This verse describes the effect of the Antichrist parousia, is mimicking his parodying of Christ's coming upon unbelievers. Unbelievers epitomize negative volition in this time in history, opting not even to embrace even the minimal amount of truth to be saved from judgment. So 33, his propaganda, the Antichrist campaign, brings with it all the deception of wickedness. In addition to the supernatural energy, the indicators or signs pointing to his validation of his claims, as well as the fact that this is not sponsored by God, but comes from Satan. He has all the inceptions of wickedness, and that denotes sponsoring everything necessary to appeal to the SCA human viewpoint. The Christian priest, the believer priest, faces two enemies in life. Obviously, there's the outward enemy, those who are negative around us, the world at large. But there's also the inward enemy, and that is our very nature itself, the nature of our flesh, known as sin, the sinful trend of Adam, or the old sin nature. Paul makes it clear that the sin nature resides in our flesh. We are born into the world with a sin nature as the offspring and progeny of our earthly parents, who find their roots in our corporate parents of the human race, Adam and Eve, all of us essentially in that regards. And what goes along with the sin nature, its lusts, its salivations, is all the rationale necessary to sponsor it or facilitate it, giving it the freedom to express itself in such fashion. There are two primary books of perception and knowing that an individual can appeal to or draw from in regards to their own thinking. One is the book of the world known as Human Viewpoint Story. The story that is facilitated originating from Satan himself in the garden, bringing about the deception of the woman through deceiving her, distorting the truth, etc. Human viewpoint is all viewpoint that is in contradictory to, in any form or fashion, the truth of the other book we can draw from, that being the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. That is God's viewpoint. We call that divine viewpoint. Part of the struggle in the Christian life, again, in dealing with the SCA, is reprogramming your mind with the mind of Christ and inserting the divine viewpoint in battling your SCA versus letting human viewpoint cater to it. These two venues of resources of knowledge are available to any, but only those who are true seekers of God will ever come to an understanding and grasping the divine viewpoint of life to overrule their human viewpoint and hence have the ammunition necessary to deal with their SCA, keeping it at bay throughout their lives. So deception of wickedness brings about the very concept of evil that stems from SCA human viewpoint realities. 34, it is so strong in regards to the appeal that it sweeps along those that are negative at God consciousness. We touched on this last class. One comes to a determination whether they want to have a relationship with God or not fairly early on in life, when the individual, generally in an adolescent stage, comes to a point mentally able to contemplate the existence of creation, that there is a creator, one behind it. At that point in time, the individual determines whether or not they want to have a relationship with the creator or not. So people determine whether they're going to be positive or negative, essentially early on in life, in regards to their phase one. And that is called God consciousness, coming to a reality, coming to an understanding that this universe didn't happen by chance. 35, now this form, the form of this seductive assault takes, includes A, the Antichrist's ability to sway people through televised public speeches, obviously plugging in modern technology as it will be part of this latter day scenario, a very charismatic a way to word things, his sophistries of wisdom will generally exude somewhat of a high intellect. How he approaches things will have a strong addiction in regards to those who are looking for answers in life apart from the truth, to accept these things and say, yeah, that makes sense, etc. So he has a very charismatic way and ability of communication, which obviously finds help from the false prophet under satanic influence in both cases. B, he then has success in murdering believers. His agenda calls for doing away with those who will not accept him as the Messiah, that adhere to this religion that he will claim is responsible for all the turmoil, catastrophes, etc., that is going on in the world, and hence his agenda of genocide to purify the world will have an impact upon those who are otherwise negative. It will, at very minimum, incite fear. Well, we better go this way, etc. So you can imagine with your own thinking the impact in that regard. See, his seemingly unstoppable military successes, his military campaigns will find great success, not complete in all cases, but ultimately sufficient enough to unify the militaries of the world for one final assault at the end of Daniel's 70th week against Israel. D, his demonstration of supernatural, superhuman powers, such as bringing fire down from heaven, Revelation 13:13, that he has control over the elements. E, his unique credentials is one that has survived death by a wound. A wound that is to the head, and he is able to make claim that he has power over death. 36, to those that are negative, he will appear to be the one to lead them to victory over the one that is destroying the planet, as manifested through the two prophets, Moses and Elijah, the angels, the communicating angels that you see, God is not happy, etc. And he will take issue with that, blaming it on this religion that has been around over the centuries, etc. And those who are seeking to stay removed from the fetters of God in that vein will jump on the occasion to be on the side that supposedly will take care of this once and for all. 37, all of the unbelieving world will be awed by the charisma and credentials of the man of lawlessness. 38, it is not that people do not have at least an equal, credible alternative. It is their own volitional makeup that causes them to blindly and fanatically follow this man. That is one thing that sometimes is hard to get people to see clearly. And that is, people are what they are in regard to God's plan based on their own free will, based on their own volitional decision, apart from any other outside influence otherwise. Negative volition is negative by virtue of no desire to have a relationship with God, to reject the truth in whatever form and fashion in that regards. There is always the alternative to the truth. Bible doctrine is there for those who want the alternative to the human viewpoint approach to the world. God, in eternity past, was able through His foreknowledge to foresee those who would indeed want to have a relationship. And He ensures through His plan that indeed they receive the truth to whatever degree of polyvolition they may possess. In fact, He provides the truth over and beyond in abundance, even in regards to those who may otherwise, He knows, reject the truth. That just adds to their culpability. So people are what they are based on the fact that either they're negative or they're positive. That's how you black and white determine and critique in regards to people standing before God. Again, no matter whatever relationship one may have with Him otherwise. And these people have just as much an opportunity as anybody else in history, and maybe to a certain degree, an exposure not ever seen in history in regards to an alternative to what this man, the Antichrist, is proclaiming otherwise. And that is the truth of Bible doctrine. There will be a universal evangelization that occurs during this period in history. So 39, like the millions of educated and intelligent people that follow the diatribes of Hitler, negative volition will accept no alternative, no matter the historical and biblical evidence to the contrary. Very smart, intelligent people will fall for some of the most unbelievable things in this world. The most stupid, as we would think, ideas in regards to things, approaches, a viewpoint in life. The perversion of things, how logically dumb even they are, such as buying in to the theory of evolution, and how highly educated, going to, you know, the great colleges of the world, people can actually fall for that, embrace it. That's because they do not want to deal with the reality of a supreme being who has control over them. And they will be answerable ultimately too in regards to their lives. And hence they seek for an out, a fantasy of life, so they do not have to face the realities. People that do not come to the light are people that rather embrace the darkness. They want to bathe themselves in it in rejection of the truth. They do not want to face the consequences, the pressure, the persecution, the suffering of adhering to the truth of Bible doctrine. They are, as Paul says otherwise, selfishly ambitious. They have their own agendas, and they are not willing to throw their hat in the ring to become part and party to this minority of mankind who are otherwise positive. And they will accept no alternative. They have their own agendas. Bible class is just not for them. Let's see. And that in spite of what the Bible says in regards to forsaking one's assembly, coming to the light versus not coming to the light, and all the other insights in regards to the importance of the local church and Bible doctrine, etc. They reject it. They may tell you to their face they don't reject it, but in application they do, or else they'd be here, or they'd be at least trying to find a way to be in the position to be here. See, according to the prophecies of the Bible and their exact fulfillment, would not commend themselves to human reason and good sense. It has often been said one of the great appeals of Bible doctrine to the positive individual is how logical, how much horse sense this book contains, as we would say from the Midwest. Common sense. So much of Scripture is common sense. You establish your priorities. You make your investment. What you invest in is where you're going to have your return. What you sacrifice, etc., to achieve in regard to your goals. That's common sense in any avenue, in any venue of profession, sports, or whatever. Obviously, God's thoughts are not our thoughts in many ways. But the fact that once you hear the doctrine and you put it in regard to its proper perspective and embracing it and applying it, you go, yeah, that makes sense now that I understand it. As long as you take issue with it, you'll not see that. These things do not commend themselves to those who reject the truth at any level. You know, whether we want to take positive and negative volition at its extremes in its overall general sense, phase one faith, phase two faith, or at every aspect of accepting and rejecting the truth in one's Christian life or life otherwise. 41, the passive participle for those who perish conveys the idea of those that are on their broadway, on the broadway to perdition, to eternal destruction, eternal condemnation. We read those verses. 42, the cause of their ignorance to Satan's trickery of evil is quite clear, being due to their rejection of, quote, the love of the truth, so as to be saved or delivered. Sozo in the Greek, the basic meaning of deliverance. 43, the preposition translated because in the New American Standard here. Because they did not receive the love is the preposition anti. Means against, in opposition to. And it indicates an opposition to what was otherwise available. In other words, it points to the human viewpoint versus the truth of the gospel. 44, where we left off, the phrase did not receive, strong negative u with the verb dekomai, means to spurn the truth, opting to retain their human viewpoint rationale. To hear it, they may acknowledge it, but they are not willing to embrace it. To take it and say, yes, I definitely believe that, and I will take that belief in application in my life, and I will make it part of my thinking processes of all that I think, say, and do in my life. These people rather spurn the truth. Their love is for darkness, the darkness of human viewpoint. That's because it is that that satiates or satisfies, appeals to their sin nature. To give their sin nature the freedom to express itself without restraint in whatever areas. Doesn't have to always be in all areas. It doesn't have to be in the areas that are most gross or recognizable, like emphatic sins or whatever. It could just be in areas of thinking in general. And people get tired of battling that. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to think that way and put the pressure on myself to try to make application in that regards. One little thought erroneous to the truth of Bible doctrine is all it takes to set one downhill course in regards to spiritual catastrophe. Again, why it is so important to not reject the truth, give it a hearing, pray about it, hang in there with doctrine. Over the years and over more doctrine, as doctrine, we will revisit whatever subject you may be dealing with in your own questions. And over time, it will be made clear otherwise, if you're willing to accept it. If you're not, then it doesn't make any difference. 45, the setbacks and frustrations Antichrist movement faces will not otherwise deter people that love the darkness rather than the light. The thing in regards to Antichrist and his movement, his cult, and his rise to fame and power, it's not all peaches and cream. Obviously, you got a lot of genocide going on. You got wars, conflicts, things of that nature. And God will jam certain aspects in regards to his goal and Satan's goal. But truly, what keeps people tied into his agenda is the fact that they too love the darkness rather than the light. Again, John 3:19, in that area which illustrates negative and positive volition, brings that principle out. And it's still, in spite of the proof otherwise, in regards to divine viewpoint and other aspects, even physical proof, will not deter their pursuit. 46, Antichrist's weaknesses are for all to see that are willing. There are there for people who will be astute. For instance, he will not be able to destroy even one of the 144,000. God has his protective hand on the 144,000 male Jews who are virgins, who are part of the first fruits of evangelizing in the tribulational period. He keeps their his protective hand upon them as they perform their ministries. And he's seen at the end of the tribulational period, as we saw it in Revelation, in victory, standing with victory with Christ in Jerusalem. Revelation 7:3-4, judgment, even on the world itself, will be withheld, so as not to interfere in regards to getting these individuals in their proper place in belief. Do not harm the earth or the tree, sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. That is a seal of protection as well as a mark in regards to their conversion. And the number of those 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. First remnant of the positive volition will come out of Israel at the very beginning of the day of the Lord, the Daniel 70th week. And if you're alive at that point in time, you become a believer, and you go into the tribulation, you're an unbeliever, and the rapture occurs, you become a believer during the tribulation. If I was going to look for a job and send out my resume, it'd be one of these guys. I'll be your secretary. I'll carry your attaché case for you. I'll polish your shoes for you. They're going to have unbelievable protection, supernatural protection, throughout the entirety of all this judgment that comes upon this planet. So he has no success in regards to his genocide campaign against believers, against these 144,000. B, he will not ultimately be successful in the murder of God's two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. Oh, there is a facade of success, but his whole campaign is a facade. all these supernatural feats and everything else is a facade. It's simply an appearance. It's not the reality. And as we know, Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses, the two olive trees, the two lampstands, as they're so described in chapter 11, had the ability to bring about drought and prophesy in regards to the earth and judgment and things of this nature. People do not like them. There are weathermen they would prefer not to listen to. They'll blame them. Again, their representation, the truth of doctrine, and part of the delusion, the counterfeit, is that Antichrist will have temporary success in regards to dispatching them out of this world and life, but only temporarily. And during that period of time, as they are beheaded in Jerusalem, verse 8, and those from the verse 9, verse chapter 11, Revelation, and those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days, and will not be permitted, and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in the tomb. This is really morbid. Brings about a great celebration, a relishing, an appearance of great victory in regards to what these people will rationalize as being their source of trouble and suffering on this planet during this time. And those who dwell on the earth, verse 10, will rejoice over them and make merry, and they will send gifts to one another, like it's Christmas or a birthday, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth, the unbelievers, in their own thinking. It's God's judgment coming upon them. And after 3.5 days, verse 11, the breath of life of God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were beholding them. Antichrist makes his claim of power over death. However, it comes off in regards to his claim. We're not told exactly, but here you have complete public evidence of these men, life returning back to them. They will be resuscitated, and God will draw them upward towards heaven as they'll return back to God's kingdom in phase 3 to wait out the rest of the tribulation, the final 3.5 years, and then they get their resurrection bodies. So ultimately, he has no success over his claim of victory over these two people. See, he cannot prevent the torture of his own subjects by demons for 5 months in the judgment of the fifth trumpet. In Revelation 9, you have the locust demons, which amount to none other than the pre-diluvian demons that violated their sexual domain and were incarcerated in Tarsus, Tartarus, in the depths of Sheol, Hades, for their crime against humanity by God. And they have been incarcerated there, sealed up there, over this 5,000 years of history now. And they're going to be released temporarily. And they are not allowed, permitted, denoting God still has control over everything, to kill anyone, but to bring about severe, unbelievable pain and torture. And that torture comes upon those who otherwise embrace Antichrist, unbelievers. And that scenario pointed out for us. Verse 2, and he opened up the bottomless pit, the fifth angel, with the key to the bottomless pit, which is Tartarus. And smoke went up out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit, like a big volcanic vat is opened. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. These are demons that manifest themselves in imagery as locusts, and they have poison such as scorpions. I've never been bit by a scorpion, but I understand anyone who has. If you've ever been bit by a wasp, you can multiply that about 10, 15 times. That's how much it burns and stings. Unbelievable pain if it doesn't kill you. As the scorpions of the earth have power, they were told that they should not hurt the grass or the earth. They can't do any environmental damage, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. That looks at 144,000, and obviously implied believers in addition to them. And they were not permitted to kill anyone but to torment for 5 months. They don't have the seal of God, and then they must have another seal. And this happens during the latter end of the first 3.5 years. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. And the appearance of locusts was like horses prepared for battle. Obviously, as demons, they had ability to fly. They swarm. This locust thing gives you an idea of their tactics, of swarming tactics. And you hear the noise in the air, like if you've ever heard like a lot of helicopters out in combat or whatever. And you can hear them a long ways off, and a bunch of them. So you hear that noise, and either if you're the enemy, you go, uh-oh. If you're an ally, you go, yay, you know, or whatever. They will use that type of tactic. People hear it. They will be cleaning their britches later. I'll put it that way. They will be conditioned. Anyone that's run into these once will be conditioned. They ever hear that sound again? Uh-oh. Yeah. Like horses prepared for battle, verse 7, and on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold, their faces like faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women. Demons like to manifest themselves with long hair. Long hair on a male, which demons are all male, is an overt sign of rebellion. A rebellion against God. Yes, I know about Samson and others that took a Nazarite vow. They were prophets that were given the ministry to reflect the rebellion of Israel. And hence why they were to grow long hair to represent Israel's rebellion. The proper hair attire for a male is short hair. They had hair like the hair of women. Their teeth were like teeth of lions. Just look at them. Put this in a movie. That'd be a good horror film. With all these special effects they had today, you could probably come up with a pretty good picture. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. And they had tails like scorpions and stings, and their tails had the power to hurt men for 5 months. Use it like a whip. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, this king demon, denoting that there's hierarchy even within the satanic order. And in the Greek, he has name Apollyon. So this comes out. Antichrist, help us here. But he is powerless. D. He cannot apprehend or kill the Jews that flee to Edom, Moab, and Ammon for refuge. Even though Satan, after the angelic star war, is cast to earth, he pursues Israel. And there are those that escape. Revelation 12:14-17 recorded that for us. And the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman as a dragon is cast down to the earth. Verse 13, he persecuted the woman, that's Israel, who gave birth to the male child, Jesus Christ. When the dragon saw that he was thrown down, verse 14, and the two wings of the great eagle were given to the women, the Israel, in spite of the fact that the U.S. will be decimated in regards to our continent, obviously we will still have military that is not on the land. They're called Navy and Air Force. And there will be some of their vehicles that will continue to ally and enable the help of Israel during this time in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time for the presence of the serpent. That's the final 3.5 years. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So God delivers them and protects them for those who adhere to that point in time in the history of the tribulation to flee Israel. So you have the indicators. You have the marks to show that he's not all-powerful. If he's God, why couldn't he stop all this? That's his claim. So 47, the chinks in his armor will not lead to a change of mind, a repentance of negative volition. In spite of the fact that they're there, but they will just simply disregard it or dismiss it. Or whatever rationale they have. 48, instead they will embrace his blasphemous claims to deity. That's what appeals to them. 49, when people, as believers and unbelievers, reject the truth, they buy into the most repugnant and reversed doctrines. Sometimes you hear stories of people that were on doctrine and adjusted at one point in time in their life, they leave doctrine, and you can't believe the vomit that they've returned to or what they have started to engage in now in their own lives. You go, where in the world is this coming from? Something that in a lot of the cases, at least, that I've heard, they completely rejected and said was stupid at one time in their life. No, I'd never do that. And now they're doing and thinking these very things, engaging in the very activities. You reject the truth, you have one alternative. You're going to fill the void with some type of human viewpoint that's going to facilitate your STA. See? And sometimes it can be something completely and totally opposite of what you bought into in regards to the truth and embraced previously for those who reject the truth. Now, obviously, if you reject the truth from the get-go, then case in point. The truth is what keeps you focused with clear thinking, clear insight in regards to your life and the world around you. It has you in touch with reality. When you leave the truth, you opt for the human viewpoint, you then tread the path of something that is opposite, and sometimes it can be very perverse. One should never judge a movement or a church by its early successes and popular support. The Antichrist obviously is going to gain immediate support. This whole idea of popular support is part of the degradation in regards to our republic as a nation. Focusing people on the concept of democracy instead, and let the popular support make the rules, change the rules, things of this nature. Movements, churches that have early successes, that doesn't in and of itself mean that, you know, they're doing it right. It just means that whatever they're doing, or possibly means it could, if there's a massive population. But often it simply means that they have an appeal to an SCA on a very wide spectrum. Critiquing is done continuously and over time. Some of the biggest mega churches that we see in our country are some of the most downright offbeat doctrinal institutions there are. Those unbelievers that are his most ardent supporters, the Antichrist, will receive rewards. There obviously will be the availability of gain for those who will line up with him. Daniel 11:39b, Old Testament again. And he will take action against the strongest fortresses with the help of a foreign god. He, the Antichrist, will give great honor to those who acknowledge him. He will cause him to rule over the many and will parcel out a lamb for a price. That implies, at least, that upon his rise to success, he will enforce eminent domain in regards to his conquest and what he calls his rulership. And he will utilize real estate as a means of rewarding others, giving them land, indicating prosperity in that respect. 52, those that perish in hell do so not because they have not heard, but because they are not seekers. They're not positive. Over and out. 53, negative volition strips people of all protection, and then it makes them gullible. Part of doctrine, part of the design of doctrine, is to protect you in regards to making those decisions in life that are going to be destructive in regards to your life and before God. And you then become an open target for anyone that has an alternative that may appeal to your own SCA in regards to your approach of whatever aspect of life you may be considering, if not overall. Bible doctrine is an immense protection to us. We're commanded to take captive every thought for Christ. And that denotes maintaining the proper divine viewpoint in front of us at all times, and to defend against the human viewpoint ever infiltrating our own lives otherwise. People that are negative will fall for the charlatans that will provide them the alternative. The false teachers, whatever form they may come in. 54, the good news of eternal salvation is presented to all the inhabitants of the earth in the tribulation, supported by a warning not to receive the mark of the beast. They're given plenty and ample warning. And again, as we know, that on a universal scale. Revelation 14:6, and I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. No unbeliever left behind. Put that in your political agenda. In 9 and 10, another angel, a third one, followed him, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast on the other end of the coin, in his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed up, mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. Not only as it might mean in regards to their sin and death, and exit and judgment through fire, but eternally they take the mark of the beast, that is the last ultimate decisions they'll make on this planet. Fifty-five, positive volition, will otherwise demonstrate its love of the truth by believing in the saving message. They'll believe the gospel. 56, all these unbelievers could be saved during this period in history, as with all them that preceded them in history. But they of their own free will elect to be negative of God consciousness and gospel hearing. That's the matter, of course, for negative volition. 57, a positive person otherwise demonstrates their positive volition by one's attachment to the truth of Bible doctrine. People can give lip service to being positive all day long, but the evidence is seen in whether or not they attach themselves to the truth of doctrine and apply it in their own lives. Whether it's gospel phase one and then making the application of believing in Christ, or gospel phase two. Fifty-eight, principle is refusal of the truth lays one open to all kinds of error. All kinds of error. While a little piece of human viewpoint will further erode one's thinking from the divine viewpoint that they used to think, it can come in pieces. Continual erosion, continual rationalization. Romans 1, 21 to 28 gives you ample warning in regards to those who reject the truth, reject the gospel, determined to be negative of God consciousness, and their alternatives. The reality of negative volition is that they reject the truth, for even though they knew God, verse 21, Romans 1, they did not glorify Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures, through paganism, idolatry, things of this nature. And the consequences stated then in verse 24, therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them, as being immoral. For they exchanged the truth of God, verse 25, for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. I believe it. Amen. And in the same way also, you have an example to the depraved, how deep the depraved state is, and that is even getting involved in homosexuality, to become a sodomite. For this reason, God gave him over to degrading passions, for even their females exchanged a natural function for that which is literally against nature. And in the same way also, the males abandoned the natural function of the female and burdened their desire toward one another. And yet, the sodomites who are religious will say, the Bible doesn't teach against homosexuality. Man, what are they reading? Men, or males with males, continue verse 27, committing literally the shameful act. The shameful act. Sodomy. And receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. That penalty today is manifested under AIDS. Fifty-nine, for these earth dwellers, so you want to reject the truth, then you can be in the massive crowd looks for the alternatives, and you may be surprised just how depraved you find yourself in your life. You think it's depraved now, if you do. 59, for these earth dwellers, their eternal loss can only be laid at their own feet, They are responsible for their own destiny. Every individual is. All we can do as parents, as associates, friends, etc., is provide the truth of doctrine. Eventually, children have to grow up and they have to come to their own conclusions, even as children, just as we all did. See. But for negative volition, they're negative because that's what they chose to do. And the responsibility lays at their own feet. And so it is for these unbelievers, earth dwellers, those who are preoccupied with this planet, the things on this planet, for their own gain, for their own happiness, things of this nature. 60, for parallel usage of the Greek expression for being saved, phase 1, as we are taking it here, to be saved, phase 1, we have 1 Thessalonians 2:16. Saved can be used in different contexts. It's not technical. It doesn't always mean saved from eternal condemnation, as it does here. It means deliverance such as in the rapture, temporal deliverance in time. First Thessalonians 2:16, we saw it there in the first epistle, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. Reference to the Jewish antagonist to Paul's and company's ministry in their evangelizing. That's delivered from eternal condemnation, salvation phase 1. And then 1 Corinthians 10:33. Just as I, Paul, also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved, delivered from eternal condemnation. In his ministry, regards to his apostolic ministry, Jews and Gentiles alike. 61, salvation is equally open to all mankind with no exceptions. The doctrinal, theological term used in that regard is unlimited atonement. Christ died for all sins for all men. And it's up to men whether or not they want to believe in his person for salvation otherwise. 62, the people in view in our verse, elect, in the face of all the evidence, to worship the beast and take his number. That's the choice they determined to make. 63, the whole world is taken in by him, except those whose names are written in the book of life. There are those exceptions to the rule, those who will be positive during this time in history, become believers, and will lose their life in many cases because of that very fact. Revelation 13:8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written in, from the foundation of the world, the book of the life of the Lamb who has been slain. If you don't become a believer in this period of history, you will buy into the Antichrist propaganda campaign. That is the great delusion. That is this unbelievable thing that's going to occur in history. You know, there's not going to be, not going to go with either one of them. No, you're going to buy into it. So, well, we got through the verses. Welcome back. We'll continue on Thursday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.